Thank you, everyone. I haven't been emotional until just now, and so thank you for ambushing me there. I appreciate that. I knew Chris had told me that he was introducing me, and I was just thinking about, like, man, I've known Chris for almost 20 years now. 20 years. And I was thinking, actually, I had sent Chris my slides like a week ago, because I was trying to be a good speaker. And I sent it about a week ago. And I was thinking last night, like, oh, I should include some pictures of when I first got to North Central, you know, like some of like the early, early pictures. And thankfully, many of those were on that screen right there a little bit ago. If you wanted a truly authentic picture of me from the beginning, there would have to be at least one polo, probably two. The collar would be popped. I'd probably be wearing a necklace. I think like the tips of my hair were bleached probably. And I wore jeans that were way too tight. And that was, that's how I came to North Central. And so it really is amazing to think what an incredible journey it's been. Before I start, I wanted to do a couple things. I just want to say a couple thank yous to the faculty and staff that I've had the opportunity to work with for all of these years. I'm so grateful for your partnership and for the moments that we've gotten to collaborate and work together and often work through really hard things. And I'm just really grateful for each one of you and how you've made me better. And how you have how you've led me, and I'm really grateful for that. I want to say thank you to the student development team. Over all these years, we have done we've done some pretty incredible things, and the work that we've done, I think, is really impressive. And I think oftentimes the work we've done is in the shadows, right? There's a lot of really great things that happen at North Central. And there's a lot of things that happen at North Central that a lot of people don't know about. Like, for instance, I was called last night at midnight because there was a student concern that one of the RDs wanted to call and talk about. And we chatted for a while trying to figure out how do we support this student, right? And that happens on a consistent basis because we have a system of wanting to support every single student, not just the students that are doing great, but the students that are struggling, that are going through it. We want to be there and we want to walk alongside each of one of them. And then the last thing, the student development team is truly exceptional, and I'm really grateful for them. And the last people I want to say I'm grateful for is our students here at North Central. And it's been kind of crazy to think about the students that are graduating this year are the students that came in the fall of 2020. If you're one of those people, will you just raise your hand? Because you're superheroes. And 2020 was a hard, hard year. I remember most of the summer of 2020 wondering whether or not we were going to be able to have class that fall. And I remember sitting in Zoom, like 8-hour Zoom calls most days trying to figure out how we were going to open this university. We were getting new information from the CDC constantly, and we were trying to figure out, can we do this safely? Like, can we hold a university in the middle of COVID? And I remember all the work and thinking, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. And I also remember sitting right over here on the side as the first group of students came back, and we were worshiping together. We were all masked. We were all separated all across this room. And I remember thinking, like, this is why it was worth it right here for this moment right here. All of those meetings, all of that time was worth it just to get to this moment, because these students are always worth it. Students are always worth it. And I want to say that in so many of those times, it felt really confusing and it felt hard to know what was important in that moment. And seeing students worshiping and connecting to each other in that space felt like, okay, this is why we did it. So thank you for providing, thanks for providing a reason to go through hard things. I'm really grateful for that. We already introduced my wife, Bree. I think there's a picture of my family. A lot of you have seen my family grow up. So I wanted to show you the most recent picture. This is my beautiful family. You know my wife, Bree. Bree and I have been married for almost 15 years. It's a really long time. And my daughter, Reagan, is here. And today's a really big day for us because last night, I don't know if you know this, last night Taylor Swift dropped not one, but two albums. This is a really big deal for us. If you're an 11-year-old girl, this is a really, really big deal. So I want, I just wanted you to know that she could be listening to Taylor Swift right now, and she chose to be here. This is a really big deal. for me. So that is a way that I feel valued. And then my boys here are Boston is the taller one. Paxton's the shorter one. That's because their ages are different. And Boston and Paxton are both basketball obsessed, and that has been great, except it's putting some of my parenting values in conflict with each other, because oftentimes Boston will ask me, Dad, do you think when I grow up I can be better than LeBron James? And I have a conflict there, because in one hand, I want to empower my son to be anything that he wants to be in the entire world, right? I want him to feel like you can do anything. And also, I have a value of being really honest with my children. And so I often tell him, my dude, I think that there's so many things you can be great at. And we'll just leave it right there, right? I've got these boys. They're incredible, and I'm really grateful for them. I'm grateful for my family. They provide a lot of meaning, especially when things are really hard. I wanted to start by obviously, like, I'm kind of in a middle space right now, right? And I kind of think about middle spaces in I'm leaving one thing, right? I'm heading out of one thing. I'm done with one thing. That season is over, and I'm moving towards something. And sometimes I don't really know what that season is, right? Sometimes I'm in the middle space, and I know that something's coming. I know that we're moving towards something, but I don't really know what that space is. And today, what I'd like to talk about is what to do when you're in those middle spaces. That's what I like to talk about. And there's a lot of people that will come to chapel and they'll talk about kind of being victorious, being on the other side of a middle space, like being on the other side of a hard space. But today is not that message. Today is about kind of being right in the middle. And what do you do? What questions do you ask? How do you talk to God during this season? And so I want to talk about the middle spaces while I'm in a middle space, right? Not while I'm on the other side, not when I've kind of seen the fruit of it, not when I've kind of had victory over it and I'm on to the next thing, but while I'm in the middle space. And so I want to start by talking a little bit about one of my favorite scriptures, and that is the story of Moses and the end of Moses' life and as he's transitioning over to the start of Joshua's ministry. So, but before we get there, I feel like I need to give a little bit of context, because it's hard to understand this story without some context. So I'm going to give a little bit of context pretty quick. So we have the people of Israel, right? And they're in Egypt. And at first, it's really good that they're in Egypt. And then it is not good that they're in Egypt, right? The Egyptians get really nervous. They say, hey, we got to put some boundaries on this. We got to treat them poorly so that they listen, so that they stay in line. And so things are really awful for them there. And so God raises up this incredible leader. His name is Moses, the great deliverer. And Moses's job is to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. And that he's accomplishing that with God through a series of plagues that the Egyptians are finally like, we don't want to do this anymore. And through those plagues, the most powerful nation in the world at that time, Egypt, decides, we can't do this anymore. We got to let them go. They can't be here anymore. And Moses leads the Israelites out through the Red Sea, across dry land, into the wilderness and into the desert, leads them out of Egypt. The Israelites are, they're in the desert, and God is literally leading them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So all the Israelites can see God is with us. God is for us. He is leading us. He's taking us from here to there, and we're along with him, and Moses is in the front. Moses is the one chatting with that cloud or talking to the pillar of fire or whatever they're doing up there, and we know that Moses is leading us. We feel safe with Moses leading us out of this, out of Egypt. In the desert, there's not a lot of food. I don't know if you've been there. There's not a lot of food. And so at one point, God commands there to be manna that grows in the middle of the desert. It doesn't make any sense, but all of a sudden, there's something that they can eat that shows up right in front of them. And it's not, they can't take more than what they need for the day, but there's always enough every single day to provide what it is that they need. It's not more. They can't hoard it and keep it and use it for later, but they can have enough every single day for what God needs them to do that day. They finally arrive at this place called Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And while he's up there, the Israelites are down on the ground breaking rule number one, right? Rule number one is thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I just said it in King James. And And as Moses is coming down, they're literally breaking that rule right there. And Moses gets really angry. He throws the pillars down. They break. They shatter. God's like, I'll rewrite those for you. And then he gets a whole new set. And eventually God forgives them and they move on. They keep moving on, right? Eventually they're where they're headed. They're at the steps to the promised land where God promised them that they were going to go. And so they say, you know, we should probably scout out this land. So they send 12 people into the land to say, hey, is this a good land? Should we go in here? And 12 of them come back and Moses says, should we go? And two people are like, yes, absolutely. This is a great land. We can grow anything we'd ever want. There's everything we could ever want is in this land. And, but 10 of the people are like, yes, but there are giants and they will kill us if we go in there. And so 10 of them say, no, we're not going to go in there. And two of them are like, yes, we can go. And because of that, God is so angry. And he says, you know what? You're going to wonder for another 40 years as a result of this because you didn't have the faith to go into the land that I was already giving you, that I'd already promised you. I was already giving this to you. You can't, it's going to be another 40 years. And in that time, all of the people that are making decisions, all of the fighting men they're going to pass away and a whole new generation is going to come as a result of it. So it's a big thing. So they wonder for the next 40 years. And if you've looked at your little map at the end of the Bible, they're all around the Sinai Peninsula, right? All the way at the bottom, up to the top. And eventually they find themselves back at the promised land. And because of things that had happened earlier, Moses knew he was not going to be able to go into the promised land, but he was going to be able to see it. And so he knew that he is approaching the end of his life. Moses is approaching the end of his life. The Israelites know that Moses is approaching the end of his life as well. And so what he does is he assembles all of Israel together. He pulls them all together, and this is what he says. This is Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7. This is one of my favorite stories. Moses says this, "Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be discouraged and do not be afraid.'" This beautiful, beautiful, and powerful charge that Moses gives to Joshua right before he's about to die. A few chapters later, Moses does eventually die, and Joshua takes over as the new leader. And something I try to do pretty regularly, and I know that I do it imperfectly, is to try to put myself into the story. Like, what must it have felt like to be in the story? A couple weeks ago, when we were celebrating Easter weekend, I often think about this in terms of what was happening on Saturday, right? Like, we have the Friday story. We know that Jesus dies this horrific death. We know that he's crucified. We know that if we look ahead a couple chapters, we can get to Sunday. We know he's going to rise, and we know that he's going to change everything, right, as a result of his resurrection. But what's happening on Saturday? And I often think about, like, what about his disciples that are in a room somewhere hiding because they're afraid, and they're thinking, like, everything that we thought was going to come true, it was just about to come true, and then it spectacularly fell apart. Right? We thought it was going to happen. We thought we knew what was going to happen. Jesus just last week was riding in on a donkey. We knew that this was going to be it. And then this week, everything changed and it's terrible now. And I think with hindsight, we can look back and just kind of flip ahead a couple chapters. And I think we can miss some of the power of the story because we skip ahead and we don't sit in some of the hard moments with the people that were there. And I try to do that here in this story too, with Moses and Joshua. Because I think at that time, you think about the Israelites, that the only leader they had ever known was Moses. The only person that they had ever known to lead them was this man, Moses. And they knew him to be a great leader, and they knew him to be a trustworthy person, and they knew him to be a person that had connected with the Lord, had continuously connected with the Lord over and over and over again. If you read the story, you'll see that they just talked together. The Lord and Moses talked together. We can really quickly brush right into the Joshua warrior era, right? We can move right into that where he drives into the promised land and drives out everyone. But what I want to do is just kind of sit in that space for just a moment and see what would it have felt like. What must the Israelites have been thinking? Because during this time, remember, a lot of the Israelites that would have seen the miracles, would have seen the plagues, would have seen the crossing of the Red Sea, a lot of those people weren't there anymore, right? They were gone. Many of them were gone. They would have died in the desert along the way, like the Lord had said, because of their disobedience earlier. And so you have this new generation of leaders that are standing in front of a new leader that they don't know yet, asking, is the promise that God gave my parents, is the promise that God gave Moses, is that going to still continue when both my parents and Moses are no longer here, right? They're kind of in this middle spot where they're saying, what is going to happen next? And I think oftentimes, as I've been in kind of these middle seasons, I'm asking a pretty similar set of questions, which is, what is happening right now? That is a question I ask. Microsoft Word says this is not a question, but I think it is, where I say, I thought my life was headed in a particular direction. If you add inflection on the end of it, I think it makes it a question, even if Microsoft Word does not agree. I think we ask ourselves, like, I thought I was going somewhere. Like, I thought I had momentum. I thought I was headed in a particular direction. And now all of a sudden, it doesn't feel like that anymore. Things are changed or things are different. And then I think we kind of spiral into some questions about, like, what is still true, right? In this middle space, what is still true? What is true about myself, right? What is true about the Lord? And I think we can ask some pretty critical questions. And I love what God says through Moses to Joshua in that critical middle space. He says, be strong and courageous. Where you're going is where I've called you to go. And you're not going alone. You aren't going alone. I love that Moses is telling Joshua this, but also he assembles the entirety of Israel around him. So it wasn't just a message for Joshua. It was a message for the entire Israelite people, which is, hey, I know that it's a tough time right now. I know that this is going to be shaky. I know things aren't going to feel stable. You're entering a new season, and that's going to be a little bit uncomfortable and maybe a little bit scary. But you need to be strong and courageous. Where you're going is where I've already called you to go. I've already promised that. That's where you're headed, and you aren't going to do it alone. And some of you, I think, are in that space where you're kind of in between. And maybe you're a senior and you're not really sure what's next. Or maybe you're a student here at North Central and you are not sure if you're going to be returning to North Central next fall. Can I get the music to come up? And maybe you're not in a middle season at all. Maybe you are in a space where you feel really settled or really secure in what you're doing. But I promise you, at some point in your life, you will be in a middle space where you will have left something and you are moving on to another thing. And I want you to know that the Lord, in those critical moments, in those really critical moments, has this word for you, and that is to be strong and very courageous. Where you're going is where the Lord has already called you to go. His promise didn't change because your context changed, right? He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're not going to go alone. You're not going to happen alone. If I could have you stand, I'm going to close. I'm just going to share my very favorite verse with you as we're closing. And that is Philippians 1, verses 6. And it says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I love this verse because it reminds me that the faithfulness of the Lord isn't left unfinished in our lives, right? God finishes what he starts in our lives. The work that God began in you, he's not going to leave it undone. He's not going to get in there and say, hey, this is too much, or this is too hard, or I'm running out of energy, or I got to go somewhere else. The Lord says, hey, whatever I started in you, I'm going to finish. I'm going to walk with you to the very end, whatever that is. And that is, I think, such a beautiful, beautiful promise for the future. And so as you... if you are someone who's in a middle spot right now, maybe you're in a middle place right now, I want you to know that you're not in this alone, and that's the beauty of community. You don't have to do it alone. And so I'm going to, what I'd love to do is kind of create some space. If you need to leave, you're certainly welcome to leave. But if you'd like to stay and you'd like to pray, you'd like to connect with someone, maybe you need to just turn to someone and say, hey, I'm kind of in a middle space right now. Will you sit with me in this? Will you pray with me in this? And I know that some of those friends, some of your friends next to you would love to do that with you. They'd love to help you with that. They'd love to carry that with you. And I want you to know I'm ready to, I would love to carry that with you as well. God is the God of the mountaintop. God is the God of the valley. And he's the God who's in the middle with you as well. And it's been an honor, truly, to serve this community. And I feel so confident that the Lord is going to raise up and bring the next generation of leaders into this place that are going to serve and love and care for you so well, exactly the way that you need to be cared for and loved. And I am going to be cheering you on and supporting you and loving you. And I'm proud of who you are, proud of who you're becoming. And want you to know that I'm in your corner, like I've always been. So let's pray. God, you are the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You're the God of David and the God of Mary. You're the God that my dad served. You're both ancient and present all at the same time. And God, that is so important as we are in spaces that feel a little unstable or a little unsure. God, we know that you are stable, you are secure, you don't change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you promise that you're going to never leave us nor forsake us. And so God, as we finish out a semester, as we find ourselves in a middle space, some of us, God, we know that you'll meet us there and that you will call us to courage. You'll remind us of what you promised us, and you'll remind us that we're never going to walk alone, not with our community and not with you by our side. God, we love you, and we're grateful for this time and grateful for this group of people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need to take some time and space, I would encourage you to do that. If you don't, I would encourage you to have a great rest of your day, and love you.